And this is Sermonition Sunday, number 19. Meditations intended to equip the church militant for spiritual warfare. And I am the warrior priest, Donovan Riley. In the name of Jesus, amen. The Jews had returned to Jerusalem from Babylon. They had listened to God's prophets, Haggai and Zechariah. They had rebuilt God's temple. And then, having listened to God's word, having listened to the prophets, having rebuilt the temple, nothing happened. No Messiah, no great divine war against Israel's enemies, no worldwide kingdom of God. None of the good things that Haggai and Zechariah had proclaimed, nothing they said would come about, actually happened. So, people being what they are, they grew indifferent. They stopped listening to God's prophets. They stopped caring about what happened in the temple. They offered faithless sacrifices. They married women from different religions, women who did not worship the true God. They were unfaithful to their wives. They withheld their tithes and offerings. And worse yet, God's priests misled the people in God's name. They ignored that it was God who had called them to ministry. They served and they worshiped themselves in the name of God. They misled the people in God's name. They used God's word to manipulate and to control the people in order to benefit themselves. But in spite of all of that, God had made promises to his people. He'd promised to be their father and their Lord. He had promised to always be the one who loved and disciplined them. And because of his promises, in spite of their indifference, he had promised that he would be the one who always loved and disciplined them. And so this sort of behavior from his people just would not do. And that is why he sent them a prophet named Malachi, whose name means my messenger. And Malachi was sent by God to point out the great disconnect between the people and their God. God cared for them. But they did not care about him. They worshipped him, sure. And they did it with religious-sounding words. But the words masked faithless hearts. The people and the priests had become indifferent about God. And their disconnect grew to a point, it grew to such a degree, where they could no longer wrap their minds around God's nature and God's expectations. So they'd say things like God works in mysterious ways, or who knows what God's will is, or worst of all, they would say some version of God helps those who help themselves. That's why Malachi was sent. He came to teach. He was sent to preach them the way that God sees things. But here's the kicker. God also assured Malachi that the people would not understand. They wouldn't listen because they had grown indifferent to God's word and therefore to God's preachers. It's also why Malachi often said something to the effect of this is what you have done. And yet you say, how have we done this? How have we done this? First, you doubt God's love for you. Second, you do not understand how God views your offerings. Third, you forget that the way God values justice and why he hates lies. Fourth, you neglect your tithes and offerings, neglecting God's house and those who minister to you, those whom God sent to minister to you. And finally, you behave as if serving God is useless. Fortunately, though, God did allow some people to hear. He did allow some to comprehend Malachi's message, the remnant, that little group that he names as his jewels. The Jews who still honored and respected God wrote their names in a book, and God promised to purify Israel for his jewels, as he called them. He promised to punish the wicked and to spare the righteous. But before he would do that, before he would separate out those who would be punished and those who would be spared, God would send another messenger to clear the way. One more prophet, one last prophet to clear the way for God's purifying judgment. Out of love for his people, God sent John the Baptizer to preach repentance. And John gave a deadly serious warning to his people. He warned them about the consequences of their unrepentance. He warned them about their indifference. He warned them about worshiping God with their lips, but not with their heart. Repent, he preached, so that you will be worthy to escape all of these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Unless God sends preachers to intervene in your lives and your affairs, you would end up, as Malachi said, cursed and facing absolute destruction. You would grow indifferent to God and eventually be thrown into a lake of fire. And it all begins the same way. It begins for everyone the same way. It all begins with you not embracing the love of God. So Malachi's message, and that of all God's preachers, is clear. God pleads with his people to consider their ways, embrace his love, and receive his offer of everlasting life. He desires that we all come to repentance in order to be saved. But how many of you have become indifferent about God's love because your expectations remain unmet? How often do you become disappointed and in your disappointment break away from God's love for you? Be honest. Be honest with yourself. Don't run away from the truth. Don't become indifferent to the truth. Don't you do this whenever God doesn't meet your expectations? Isn't this your response when God does not give you the answer that you want when you want it? Don't you stop caring about God's love for you that's demonstrated in Christ Jesus because you are not seeing the good things he promises? That's why you so often live by fear instead of faith. You live by fear instead of faith because you doubt God's love. And so you reject the promise. You reject the preacher that he sends to you too. And yet, because of his promise, because of his love for you, he gathers you together in his house week after week after week because God cares for you in spite of your indifference, in spite of how you treat his word and his preachers. The lesson of Malachi reveals God's love for his people so that when people ask for proof of God's love, he reminds them, he sends them a preacher to proclaim to them, to declare that he chose them to be his people. We do not accept Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. Jesus Christ accepts us as his personal sinners. He chooses us. We don't choose him. He loves us. He keeps his promises to us. He chose us to be his people. Turn to Romans 9, for example. The Apostle Paul applies God's election of the people of Israel to you too. He writes that you who are saved from destruction and hellfire have been chosen from the foundation of the world. God chose you in Christ before he made anything. That's why you're gathered into his house week after week. That's why he sends preachers to announce his promises to you. That's why his faithful loving kindness is sure and certain, because he chose you in Christ before anything else. That's your assurance that God loves you. It's the sure and certain sign that you belong to Him now and always. Always into the future, but always in the past too. All the way back to the beginning. And all the way into the resurrection to life everlasting. Do you believe that Christ is your Savior? Then you're counted amongst the elect. Whenever God sends you a preacher, like Malachi, that's when you will receive God's promise that you are counted amongst His chosen people. You are loved by God in Christ from all eternity. What could be more sure than that? What could be more certain than God's promise that He has loved you in Christ before He made anything? And after everything is remade, He will still be loving you. So what could be more secure than that? Nothing. There is nothing more sure than that. Nothing could be more sure for you than the fact that God chose you in Christ as His own people, His child. Not just today, but always, always stretching back into the past before the creation of anything, and always into the future after the resurrection of the dead and the judgment day and life everlasting. God chose you in Christ as His own, as His people, as His beloved child, not just today, but always. That's His sure and certain promise to you. That's the word He sends the preacher to proclaim to you again today, that you are His own, chosen in Christ, today and always, in the name of Jesus. Amen.